thank you for being here today. Am I on? Yes, I am. You may want to turn it off. But anyway, I don't do this often, and I just do it to help Sheldon, and I'm always glad to do it. I've run my race, and I'm glad to cheer the young ones on. And so I'm always humbled when I stand behind this sacred place. Many of you have commented about you wearing a suit. I preached one time without a suit, and I forgot my whole sermon. And so if it happens today, you'll know it just won't happen. But let me tell you what's happened. In mid-September, my wife and I were in Colorado Springs in a little retreat for a board that I serve on. And many times I do the speaking there. They found out that I'm cheaper than bringing in another speaker, so they let me do it. But this time they had another speaker, and he spoke to my heart. He spoke out of the 71st Psalm. And so I listened to him. It was very brief. But since that time, the 71st Psalm has become a part of my heart. So if you don't like what I'm going to say, you can blame the guy that brought the message. Now, what he had to say is not what I'm talking about today. But that 71st Psalm became a part of my heart. And I read it over and over and over and over and over until it really became a part of my life. Now, we're not sure who wrote Psalm 71. We're not sure at all. Most of the Psalms have the author's name at the beginning. But Psalm 71 does not have the author's name. If you were to go and read Psalm 70... you would find very quickly that Psalm 71 is a sequel to Psalm 70. Same message, same story. So in all probability, they were written by the same man. And I think the man was David. David has written many of the Psalms, and many of the Psalms bear his name. But Psalm 71 does not. This psalm has been called a psalm for godly old men. I like part of that. I like the godly part, don't care about the old man. But it's been called a psalm for godly old men. And it's a psalm written by David. Let's just agree that David wrote it. It's a psalm written by David that makes you aware that he wanted to finish well. He wanted to finish life on a positive note. And so he wrote the psalm. Now you know, and I know, that David was, according to the Bible, was a man after God's own heart. But you see David in many places where his life does not speak to being a man after God's own heart. And when he was looking at Bathsheba, he was not a man after God's own heart. David had ups and downs, just like we do. And so, and to me, as I read the psalm over and over, it kind of gave me the impression that here was a man that wanted to finish well, but he's looking back over his life. Now, I don't know about you, but when you get old, and I'm old, one begins to look back over your life. I have begun to look back over my life, and I have said some things that I wish I'd not said. I've done some things I wish I'd not done. I have. And not only that, there's some things I should have done that I did not do, and some things I should have said that I did not say. But listen, it all doesn't work out that way. So let me just give you some advice. You live a good, honorable, godly life, and when you get old, you can look back over it and enjoy it a second time. And we need to do that. But here's David, probably when he was old. Now, there are a couple of passages that say, in verse 9, he says, don't forsake me in my old age. And then in 18, he says, when I'm old and gray-headed. So David was old, but he was not old, old. I'm old, old. He was just old. And he was looking back over his life and remembering some things. You see, I am so old that all my preaching buddies have gone on to be with Jesus. And if God leaves me down here very much longer, they're going to wonder if I made it. Going to make it. And you get old. But you know, I'm looking back and I'm enjoying it. I was raised on the wrong side of the tracks. I mean, our family had nothing. Nothing. There were six of us. All three of the boys were preachers, and all three of the girls married farmers. But, you know, but we had nothing. But we always had plenty of food. I would sit at the table and say, "Dad, could I have some more beans?" He said, "No, son, you've had plenty." So I know that we had plenty of food. But we get old, don't we? We get old. A grandpa was sitting in his rocker with his little granddaughter in his lap. She would rub his face, then she'd rub her face. Then she'd look at him, then she'd rub his face, and she'd rub her face. And she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" "Yes, darling," he said. "He made me a long time ago." And then she said, "Grandpa, did God make me?" "Yes, he did, sweetheart, just a little while ago." Then she looked up and she said, "Grandpa, God's getting better at it, isn't he?" We're going to grow old. We're just going to grow old. Now what I want to do, I want to take this passage. It breaks down in three sections. And I want to share those three sections with you. Section number one, David said, "Protect me when trials come." How many of you know you're going to have some trials? Do you know there are people who are part of the Church of Jesus Christ who've been saved, who believe that God gives to them a get well card, or get out of jail free card, or get out of trouble? Listen, you're not exempt just because you're a child of God. We're going to have some difficult times. So David, looking back over his life, said, "Dear Lord, would you protect me when the trials come?" And then he lists four of those trials. So I want to share those trials with you today. The first one is in verse 4 when he says, "Protect me from ungodly foes." Look at verse 4. He says, "Deliver me, O God, out of the hands of the wicked, out of the hands of the unrighteous and cruel men." Enemies. Deliver me out of my enemies. Let me give you some information. Forgive your enemies. It messes up their head. And David is saying, "Deliver me out of the hands of these unrighteous, cruel men." And that word "cruel" comes from the Hebrew text, and it's the same word from which we get the word "leaven." It means not only wicked, but spreading wickedness. God, deliver me from these cruel men who are wicked men who are spreading wickedness. And it might have been rumors. Listen, if you love God and you serve God, somebody's going to say something that's not true about you. It's just going to happen. And if you're a preacher, listen, that happens all the time. When Brad told me he was going full-time at the church, I was glad and I was sad. I was glad because he was following in my footsteps, and it made me glad. But I was sad because I know that every day of his life, there'll be somebody in the church of God that doesn't like what he said, and they're spreading rumors. It's just true. I've been there. I've done it for 55 years. And you take it. I know. It'll happen. But listen, it's worth it all. Because Jesus loves us. He said, "Deliver me from those ungodly, cruel people that are spreading rumors." Then he said something else. He said in verse 5, and in verse 9, he says, "From the uncertain future." Look at verse 9. He says, "Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength falls." Now listen to me. You people that are older, your trials might be your age. You know, when we get age, you know, at my age, I spend more time going to the doctor and going to funerals than I ever have in all of my life. We just do that. You see, Your trial may be your age. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm at a place in my life, it don't hurt, it don't work. You understand what I'm talking about? Listen, if you're 65 or 70 years of age and you don't hurt, you're dead. It's just, that's just the way it is. And we get older and older, and he's saying, "Deliver me from that uncertain future." When we get old, it's not fun. The golden years are not always as golden as I thought they were. I read the story. I read a lot of stories. of a wife that had taken her husband to the doctor. The doctor, for the examination, the doctor examined him and told him to stay in the room, and he went to meet with the wife. And he said to the wife, "Your husband's very sick. You're going to have to take, he needs tender, loving care. You need to prepare him 3 meals a day, make sure he doesn't do anything. I mean, you need to take care of him." And she said, "What if I don't?" She said, "He's going to die." On the way home, the husband said, "I know the doctor said something about how my health was. What did he say?" And she looked at him and said, "He said you're going to die." Old age is not fun. It's just not fun. So David said, "Protect me from my age. I'm getting old. Don't let me feel sorry for myself." Let me remind you this, that old age is God's tool to give us wisdom and perspective. So enjoy those years. Number 3, David said, "Protect me from my unfaithful friends." That's in verses 10 through 13. He said, "For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken. Pursue and take him, for there's none to deliver him.' O God, do not be far from me. O God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are my adversaries. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to hurt me." Now, your unfaithful friends, I want you to get real close. Your unfaithful friends could be the people closest to you. Your unfaithful friends could be your own family. See, David had 2 of his sons who wanted to take his life. They wanted the throne. So make no mistake about it. Your adversary could be the closest, your close friend. Could be your family. Let me tell you something. If you don't know this, Satan never attacks you or attacks the church from the outside. He attacks it from the inside in. God, in all of his glory, wants to bless us. But Satan will not appear at you and say, "Hello, I'm the devil, I'm here to get you." He just doesn't do that. He'll appear to you as a wolf in sheep's clothing. And if we're not careful, we'll embrace them. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Because Satan has strategically planted throughout our churches those wolves in sheep's clothing. Your enemy might be the people who are closest to you. My family never did understand me. They were not involved in the church, but they had their meetings on Sunday. I never got to attend those meetings because I'm standing in the pulpit of God on Sunday. And so I became an outcast. Almost, he's not one of us. He's too good. I've heard it all. I've heard it all. And you'll hear that. But keep honoring God. And the last thing he said is from the unparalleled Heavenly Father. And that's in verses 19 through 20. I want you to listen to what he says. He said, "Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles." Did you get that? He said, "You're good, God, but you've caused a lot of problems. Why in the world would our Heavenly Father send us problems?" Well, Hebrews 12:6 reminds us, "Whom the Lord loves, he chastises." You've had God whip you? Oh, I have. You see, why does he do that? Well, we'll be better children. That's just the reason he does it. Listen, wise parents love their children enough to allow them to experience pain. That's just the way it is. I want to tell you, many things can be learned from a lecture. But the great things in life are learned from a burned finger and a skinned knee. It just happens that way. And so he's saying, "Oh Lord, you brought trouble to me. You brought trouble to me." I'm reminded of the teacher who was teaching the children about the Ten Commandments. And she was just really pushing home the one that says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth." says, I want you to remember that. Then she said, is there one of the commandments that teaches us how we ought to teach our little brothers and sisters? And one of them spoke up and says, thou shalt not kill. That's the first thing. David said, protect me from trials. The second thing, and using some of the same verses, says, punish the transgressor. And in 9:14, I just got through reading that, but let me read it again. He says, do not cast me off the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength falls, for my enemies speak against me. And those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are my adversaries in life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek me. You understand what he's saying? He's saying, God, these are after me. Zap! Get them. You get them, God. You get them. Now, that word, he says, my enemies speak against me. That word comes from a Hebrew word that literally means to whisper. My enemies whisper. Did you ever walk by people and they're whispering, they stop? You wonder if they're talking about you. They're whispering. Listen to me. Some of the greatest lessons in life will not be shouted. You go in the Old Testament. God was not in the fire. God was not in the wind. Where was it? Still, small voice. He said, be still and know. Isn't it amazing that Satan uses that same pattern? Satan doesn't come to you and shout. He whispers. If you loved God, you wouldn't be like this. If you loved God, these things wouldn't be happening. He whispers. But just don't listen to him. Listen to the still voice of God. Listen. Listen. David said, get him. Get him. Get him. And we're going to go through trouble. And we need our wives, don't we? We need our wives to go through that trouble. I read about Bubba and Earl. They'd gone fishing. By themselves, fishing and chewing tobacco. And they sat there and didn't say much. Bubba looked over at Earl and said, Earl, I think I'm going to divorce my wife. Why, Earl? She hadn't spoken to me in 6 months. He said, Bubba, you better rethink that. A woman like that's hard to find. When I surrendered to the ministry, when my wife married me, I was not a preacher. I worked for First Supermarket in Brownfield, Texas, where Patty's grew up. She's here today. And that's where our daughter was born, Brownfield, Texas. But it wasn't until later in life that I surrendered to the ministry and became a preacher. And one day, she had gone shopping. And I looked in the closet and I found this box. I know I shouldn't open it, but it did. I opened the box, and inside that box I found 3 eggs and $2,000. I thought, what in the world? And she came home and I said, I know I should have been in the box, but what is this? And she said, well, I made a vow that when you started preaching 50 years ago, every time you preached a bad sermon, I'd put an egg in that box. I said, 50 years and 3 sermons? What about the $2,000? She said, every time I got a dozen, I sold them. Now, you know that's not true. The last thing that David said, and I want you to listen to this. In verses 18 through 22 is what David says. He said, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, do not forsake me. When I'm old, until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. You know what he said? Listen. God, don't you forsake me till I've had the opportunity to pass the torch generation. I want everybody to just pull up close and listen. Until I've had the opportunity to pass the torch to the next generation. I didn't make that up. That's what David said. If you have time, when you go home, read the book of Judges. The book of Judges is an unusual book, so get ready to stay there for a while. It's a story of the children of Israel who seem to follow God for a while, and then they fall into sin and forget Him. Then God sends a judge. And He judges them, and they do all right for a while. And then they fall into sin again, and God sends another judge. He does that over and over and over in the book of Judges. Over and over in the book of Judges. Chapter 1 of Judges. Let me talk to you about chapter 1. After the death of Joshua, the children of Israel came to God and said, God, in what order are we supposed to go in to possess the land? Which tribes are supposed to go first? And He tells them. And so they go first. And then they go in, and he also had told them through Joshua, destroy all the altars, destroy those pagan altars, and don't have any contact with the people of the land. Don't listen to them. Chapter 2, they come back. The angel of the Lord comes to the children of Israel. Now I'm going to read out of Judges chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1 he says, I led you from Egypt and brought you into the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant. He's reminding them what he told them. Make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me by a voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I said, I will not drive them out because they shall become thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. He said, I'm not going to drive them out because I told you. He said, I'll drive them out. But he said, I'm not going to do it because you didn't do what I asked you to do. And then down in verse 10, the first 7 says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord which He had done for Israel. And verse 10 said, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, that is, they went to see Jesus, another generation arose after them which did not know the Lord nor the works He'd done. Now listen to me. Every church in America and all around the world is one generation away from closing their doors. This is one generation. He said, after that generation passed, there arose another generation which knew not God. Are you listening to me? Every church on the face of God's earth is one generation from closing their doors. So let me tell you very quickly some things that I think every church needs to do if we're going to move forward. Number one, we're going to have to embrace. We're going to have to embrace the methods. Listen, I've run my race. My job now is to stand and cheer Brad and Debbie and Sheldon off. I've run my race. I've run some more, but I can't run. I've done that. But we're going to have to embrace their methods. This young bunch coming on, and we want that young. They don't do things like we do. My dad said there's more than one way to skin a cat. They don't do things like we do. They do things differently. But that doesn't mean they don't love God. We're going to have to see. I don't care. I don't care how they do it as long as they keep the message. The message of the cross before us. The message of Jesus. You see, if we don't change our methods, they're not going to come hear the message. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, we're going to have to embrace their methods. Then we're going to have to embrace their maturity. They're not kids. They're young men and women who want to run. I served as pastor of Second Baptist Church for almost 33 years. 32 years and 5 months, to be exact. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to pastor 4 generations at one time. I stayed there a long time. Because they didn't leave that church, they stayed. But in the process of my staying there, some of those young men came to a place where they wanted a place of leadership. They wanted to serve as a deacon. They wanted to serve in some of the places of leadership. But the older leadership said, ain't going to happen. They're too young. to know what's happening. One by one, those kids went to Paramount Baptist, First Baptist, Trinity Baptist, Colter Road Baptist, and guess what? Those young men that our men said can't do it became leaders. Are you listening to me? We're going to have to embrace their maturity. And thirdly, and I know this is where the rubber meets the road, we're going to have to embrace the music. I want to say this with love. If you today would go back to the Old Testament, when they would sing, they would stand for hours and they would chant. They'd chant. You all would have left. You wouldn't have stayed. You wouldn't have stayed. You just didn't like it. You wouldn't like it at all. When I came to Second Baptist Church, get this, the organ was played so loud that we had to paint the ceiling every other week because the paint would come off the ceiling. I mean, I'm talking about loud. Loud, loud, loud. It just rang. And the young adults said, it's too loud. Yeah. The young adults said, it's too loud. The senior adults said, oh, no, it's just right. And the young adults said, no, it's too loud. So one of our men turned the organ down. I thought we were going to have a church split over turning the organ down. But it's amazing to me that the senior adults said it's loud. It's too loud. And guess what's happening today? The senior adults said it's okay. The young people said it's too loud. Guess what's happening today? The senior adults are saying, it's too loud. It's too loud. Well, I'm not going to stay there. I grew up First Baptist Church in Tahoka. All they would sing was the old music. That's all I knew. That's where I was saved and baptized. And then I went to Brownfield, joined Calvary Baptist Church in Brownfield. It was out of town. Now it's downtown. All they did was the old music. I liked that. Then I surrendered to the ministry, and we moved to Midland, and it was there while I surrendered to the ministry. At the church there, Wilshire Park, they did the old music. But the music, at second, the music began to blend. Some gospel, some the old music. That just made both of them mad. Just irritated both people. And so the music was just, they just kind of passed over the music. But I tell you what happened. When I went to Bradshaw, my first church, at about 45 of them, the average age in the church was deceased. And they were old. And a few of us young adults. And Mr. Jackson, I don't remember Mr. Jackson's first name, but he led singing. He led singing. And they'd sing those old songs. They'd sing, there's power in the blood. There's power. If we had sung all four verses of every song, we'd never got out. And then all day long. I'm talking about slow. And I thought, this is the worst I've ever seen. Their senior just said, isn't that great music? You know? And so they didn't like it. Listen, somehow, music's been a bone of contention. Let me tell you something. If you would go to Europe today, Europe is full of old churches, old cathedrals that hold 5,000-6,000 people. That many of them have closed the doors, and many of them have not closed their doors. There's a handful of people. And let me tell you what happened. If they all closed because those older people said, we're not going to change. We're going to keep doing what we do if we close our doors. And guess what? They closed their doors. They closed them. Listen. I just want to say that, we're going to have to eliminate. And let's briefly say this. We're going to have to eliminate distraction, discord, and division. And we're going to have to elevate Jesus. Listen to me. I want you to listen to me. What preacher, what music you like? I prefer the old music. I grew up on it. Would you like the old music? Yeah, I like the old music. I like new music too. Here's the thing. I am determined under God that music, the message, or the messenger is not going to keep me from lifting up Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, and my wife and I, Sheldon blesses my heart every Sunday morning. I tell my wife on the way home, she tells me, didn't he do a good job today? He blesses my heart every Sunday morning. I can't wait to get here on Sunday morning and see what he's going to do. He blesses my heart. So I'm telling you, there's nothing but nothing. I didn't come here today. Some of the music I may not like, some of the songs I may not, but I'm here for one reason, to elevate Jesus. And there's nothing under God that's going to keep me from doing that. I'm going to elevate Jesus. And that's what it's all about. I ran in the 4x100 relays when I was in high school. Didn't run very fast, but I ran. And you know, at four runners, that runner takes the baton and he runs. And he's eagerly running. And when he gets ready to the next one, he is eagerly running also, ready to take the baton. And on and on and on until they come home. In the race, we're willing to pass the baton. But in the church, we don't do it. Let me tell you. If we don't do it, the Church of Jesus Christ takes the hit. It does. A man said to his son, why do cows eat grass? And his dad said, I don't know. He said, why do chickens lay eggs? He said, I don't know. He said, why do birds fly? He said, I don't know. He said, Dad, is it all right for me to ask these questions? He said, sure. How are you going to find out if you don't ask? Our kids know how to run. They've watched us. And they've listened to Jesus. I'm old. I passed the baton to Debbie. Debbie passed it to Brad. Passed it to Sheldon. What are we going to do? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, everyone runs in a race, so run to win. And then in Hebrews 12:1-2, the writer says, we're encompassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's the analogy. All the Old Testament saints have gone to glory. And they're looking on. And the writer of Hebrews said, it's our time to run. And those Old Testament saints that have gone before are cheering us on. So let us lay aside everything that keeps us from running, whatever it might be. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. So what's our job? You're old like me. Just pass that baton. Pass that baton. What are we going to do? We're going to leave. No. No. I'm going to stay and pass that baton and chew. And that's maybe some of the music you don't like. There's some of it that doesn't buzz me. But there's some of it that does. But you see, it's all about Jesus. Now, if you won't get mad at somebody, go ahead. I've had them get mad at me before. But I said what God wanted me to say. So let me say, if you want to get mad at somebody, you get mad at him. It's right out of the book. He can handle it. Our Father, I thank you for your wonderful, wonderful glory. Thank you for how you've blessed our lives. Lord, I'm thankful I have the opportunity to stand here in this place and preach. And Lord, it's always difficult. But I know I've done what you asked me to do. So I pray you bless it. Thank you for just allowing us to be here. Thank you for what's going to happen during this time. I pray in Jesus' name.